distance from Los Angeles, College Park, Maryland is about 2,700 miles. State College, PA is 2,600 miles. Seabus, Ohio is 2,250 in distance. Minneapolis is about 2,000 miles, so on and so forth. Brad Power is with us. Brad, I know we're going to get into this, but good question. Jeff, too, wants to know in the future, in 2024, when USC and UCLA are playing in the Big Ten, how will this move affect lines, overs, unders, and all that kind of stuff, knowing that teams, in some cases, will have to travel through four time zones, either east or west?
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, football specific, I don't think it has a significant impact. People are going to be surprised by that, but I mean, you just don't travel enough. I mean, four or five, you know, road trips in a season probably isn't going to be a big enough impact. Plus, travel is so much better than what it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. And, I mean, I think that's reflected with, you know, home field advantage, the lessening of that year after year after year. So probably won't be that big, a huge impact. Now, I mean, there'll be a cumulative effect. I mean, I would say if it does, it would be maybe a final road trip late in the season, especially for the L.A. schools that are traveling and, you know, coincide that with, you know, probably some lousy weather. I think that would probably be a bigger impact than necessarily the travel. It will be a factor probably in other sports, I would say. I mean, when you're just, you know, considering you're playing more games on the basketball level and you'll have more travel, certainly I think it impacts some of the Olympic sports more than it does football.
A lot to talk to, but I was just thinking Saturday night, mid-November, and we don't even know what the schedules look like with them in the league yet. But let's just say Southern Cal in Evanston, Illinois, November 20th on a Saturday night in a blizzard.
I mean.
That's real.
Then I would say, certainly at that point, I mean, yeah, that'll be a factor then. But, I mean, you're just talking a road trip in early October. I mean, even if it's your second or third one of the season, I don't think it's going to be that. It won't be playing too much of my power ratings.
Looked it up earlier. If this holds up on the schedule, Brad, in your town, Southern Cal's first game as a Big Ten member is versus LSU in that Las Vegas Classic game. I bet you probably already have tickets to that.
No, I don't. It'll be interesting to see if that gets adjusted.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, I would guess that some of this does. I would have guessed that a lot. Just now, we're not... Not talking Big Ten. I think a lot of these schedules are going to be up in the air. All those future matchups that you see, because yeah, obviously college football loves scheduling stuff out 10, 15 years in advance. I wouldn't put too much into any of those at this point.
Looked it up for UCLA. Opener in 24 at Hawaii. That probably gets adjusted,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm not making a trip to Hawaii if I'm already flying east. Four or
Correct.
Five times.
That's good point. All right. So we're all sitting around on Thursday, busy doing whatever we're doing, and then the news hits. Southern Cal, UCLA, to the Big Ten. Then it gets confirmed. Then they vote on it, and it's happening in 24. What were your initial thoughts?
You know, believe it or not, I wasn't that surprised. They tweeted this out. I literally just had a lunch with a good buddy in town, and I flat out came out and told him, he was asking me about, you know, college football, where teams are going to go and whatnot, what we're looking at. And I flat out told him, I was like, I think USC's going to the Big Ten. And he was, like, stunned by it, like, thought I was, like, saying some, you know, the speaking space alien or something. And I don't know. If you've been following it, I mean, I'm just not surprised by the mood. I thought the Big Ten needed to make a splash to at least respond to what the SEC did last summer. They certainly did that. And, you know, kudos, the Big Ten's probably, you know, made this move with another program in mind, and that program being, you know, Notre Dame. So I think they just increased the chances of Notre Dame joining that league significantly. I'll put it that way.
That was where I was going. Notre Dame is sitting here. Obviously, they could join the ACC anytime they want. ACC right now is kind of fragile because you would think some of those schools are looking to get out of there. They're stuck with a bad TV deal through 2036. So no negotiation power. If they lose teams, that money goes down. Or Notre Dame could just stand pat and do nothing. What do you think? Do you think this forces them? Do you think Swarbrick thinks that way? Because that's the vote that matters.
Yeah, I think it's a favorite now that they, you know, joined the Big Ten. I mean, you know me, Bill. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I've been pounding on the table forever, my whole life. You know, stay independent. I mean, the goal of Notre Dame also is to break this, you know, 34-year streak of not winning a national championship. And if moving forward, you can't run a $50 million a year deficit to Indiana and Purdue in your own state. That's what they're making off a TV deal. And you're making at best 50. And again, I think even that's very, I would say, optimistic as far as, you know, whether it's NBC or whatever cutbacks they're getting from the ACC network. If you want to compete in big time college football, you're going to have to join a conference. And I know they didn't want to be geographically constrained. Well, that news yesterday by the Big Ten, you know, opens up the West Coast. It includes their biggest rival, Notre Dame. I would also anticipate maybe a couple more. Neither conference, the Big Ten or the SEC, is done yet. I would expect 20 teams in both conferences when it's all said and done, maybe even more. Maybe a couple more West Coast teams, maybe a couple of very like-minded institutions in the ACC, you know, a Duke, a Virginia, North Carolina, somebody in that Atlantic region. Big Ten also goes after some of those types of schools, then it just becomes a no-brainer for Notre Dame to join the Big Ten at that point.
The two biggest brands left out west are Oregon, Washington. I would assume, Brad, in some form or fashion, they're talking today with the Big Ten.
Yeah, I could see that. Keep in mind also academics a big thing for the Big Ten. That was kind of a little bit of the hang-up with Nebraska 10 years ago was, that they're standing as an academic institution. So, you know, and I haven't looked to see where Washington and Washington and Oregon are. But, I mean, also, if it comes down to money, I mean, you can get another big market in Seattle and control the Pacific Northwest. Do they go after, if they want a southern team, do they go after Miami, the Big Ten? I think all bets, everything's on the table, Phil. So nothing would surprise me at this point. SEC will probably respond.
Some people think Miami because they remember the 80s and the fatigues and all the teams that had so much fun and played like outlaws. Miami is a very prestigious private school. And yep. They would fit. Now, again, people talk about geographical awkwardness. Geographical awkwardness hasn't been a thing in 10, 15 years. Where you are geographically does not matter at all anymore. So, and here's the other thing. If you go down, if you're the Big Ten, and again, I don't know if there's anything happening with Miami, but if you went down there and plucked them, you're going into the South to do it, which is kind of a shot across the bow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but if they really wanted, you know, imagine them adding like a Miami and Notre Dame. I mean, I know the SEC's kingpin. But I'll tell you this, as far as TV contracts, the Big Ten would far outweigh the SEC, in my opinion. It just would. You have way too many major markets. I mean, you have basically almost every 75%, 80% of the major markets in this country. So, I mean, that would be unbelievable if the two left out there, in my opinion, that are really big are Miami and Notre Dame.
Pac-12 Dave down on the Emerald Coast, he's a big Washington State fan but lives down there in Florida on the coast, says, Bill and Brad, Leisure Suit Larry Scott is laughing his A double dollar sign off right now. He just killed that league, man. That guy just destroyed that league.
It was a combination of poor leadership, obviously, from him. It also came at a time where your flagship program was down compared to what it was the previous decade, talking USC, you know, what they were under Pete Carroll, and then they took a downturn. That didn't help necessarily. You know, also, you know, maybe it's poor leadership, but they just didn't get that done last go-around conference realignment. I mean, I think it was close. You would know more better than me, but, I mean, they were pretty close to getting Texas and Oklahoma and that. So, if that obviously, that goes down. We're not talking about this today. The Pac-12 would have been very well positioned.
Brad Powers, Brad Powers Sports with us. We'll let you know how you can get your hands on all of his information with the college football season coming up. We're also, I was joking, top of hour one, top of the show. If you're Lincoln Riley, do you wake up in the middle of the night not knowing what league you're in? Because he was in the Big 12. He was going to coach in the SEC with that announcement. Then he left, so he's going to coach in the Pac-12, except they're moving to the Big 10. There's got to be a trivia question somewhere in there, right? Somebody.
Yeah.
Nobody's head coached all those leagues or almost coached all those leagues, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to look into that. That's a good one. I mean, obviously, USC is going to benefit from a lot bigger money, payday, year in, year out. So, I mean, sure, they're going to be better adept of competing nationally in that regard. But, I mean, schedule-wise, just got a whole lot tougher for SC. I mean, there's no question. Teams are going to be playing in the Big Ten are better than teams that he'll be playing in the Pac-12. So it'll be interesting to see how SC handles it moving forward. I do think, you know, USC and UCLA are kind of a little bit of a disadvantage when you consider, I mean, and I'm just not talking football. I'm talking all programs. I mean, they're the ones doing a majority of the traveling. Compared to, you know, it's different that the Big Ten teams just kind of, and I'm sure in a lot of sports, they'll just make a weekend out of it. You know, you play on a Thursday against SC and then just Saturday, I'm talking basketball, UCLA. I mean, it's the West Coast schools that are going to be doing the majority of the traveling. The East Coast schools, it just doesn't affect only making one travel trip a year.
Brad Powers with us, BradPowersSports.com. We'll come back after the break, Friday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. There's a couple of accidents getting some attention out here. One had some injuries, 200 block of Hermitage Avenue, Nolensville Pike at Pettus. That is being moved over to the side. Wreck with injuries from earlier up in Sumner County, Highway 25. It's going to be near Upper Station Camp Creek Road. That one did have some injuries. As a matter of fact, they're still up there on the scene of that wreck in Sumner County. Ripley's has a great summer camp experience lined up for the kids. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props, game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook, you can combine prop bets from multiple games, now even multiple sports. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them at FanDuel. Combine player props you love with your favorite baseball home run hitters for a chance to score an even bigger payout. Let's say maybe you don't want to build your own. No problem. Check out their popular Same Game Parlays, where you can join the other bets users are jumping in on. If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up. Use the promo code BKING. Get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use that promo code BKING.
21 and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Greg Pump back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, now also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Reward yourself for surviving Nashville traffic with fresh, locally roasted coffee, classic handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods all day long. And free Wi-Fi, so you don't have to work from home. Number one in customer service. You made it through the traffic. Reward yourself with a perfect pick-me-up at Bongo Java. Fresh coffee, delicious treats, great atmosphere. Open 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. daily. Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
DW, how you doing,
hey,
my friend?
Hey, Daryl.
One thing I think we've learned is how many race fans are in the Nashville market. This is racing territory. For all those people that have sat back and hoped and wished and prayed that the Cup cars would come back, well, they're going to come back to Lebanon, and eventually I think they'll be back at the fairgrounds.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton, WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 92. It'll be partly cloudy tonight. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 a.m. Low around 73. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone. Sports Radio WNSR.
The Arena of Ideas is now open for your telephonic interactions. 615-844-5600. The Bill King Show.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. We were talking earlier. Brad, it's a brilliant moment for the Big Ten. Could not be set up better. Because they've got this year left on their TV deal, and they're negotiating right now, which is perfect timing. Just publicly, we got the LA news, the Southern Cal UCLA news for them, and it's consummated. It's already been voted on. They're in 24. And they're listening to pitches from CBS, who lost their 2:30, 3:30 slot to the SEC. Two more years of that, then ABC, ESPN takes that over. And Fox needs to make up for the inventory they're losing because of Texas and OU going to the SEC. NBC wants in. They want a primetime Saturday night game. And Amazon is also, Big Tech, is also talking to the Big Ten. Which means you learn this in Econ 101. When you have lots of competition, money goes up. The point is this, and this might just be a what if that's crazy. You could have in a couple of years, Brad, the noon Fox kickoff, still in place, Big Ten game, then at 2:30, a CBS game, and then at night, a primetime NBC game. Big Ten.
Yep. That would... That would be very good for anybody in that conference, Dave. You're talking well north of, and then plus still the Big Ten Network. So, I mean, your payouts per conference member well over $100 million at that point per year.
That means West Lafayette, Indiana, Evanston, Illinois, Piscataway, New Jersey, Minneapolis. Those schools get $100 million a year, and Clemson and Florida State get about 30. How about that?
Well, hence Clemson and Florida State are going to have to make a move. My guess would be they're close to jumping towards the SEC.
Do you think that's agreeable both ways? Would the SEC – how much more money could the SEC negotiate with – ESPN if they added Clemson and Florida State?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I would say the bigger will, and I just was, you know, going back and forth a little bit on Twitter, you know, Miami, I think, would be the, you know, and we'll see, you know, if the Big Ten goes after them. But, I mean, if the SEC wants to continue to expand, I mean, it would probably start with Miami. But if you get, like, a Miami, then I think it's much easier to get, like, a Florida State, Clemson, and just, and maybe throw somebody else in there and just go right to 20 teams.
We were talking about the exit fee that exists in the ACC. The contract, and it has to do with when they formed the ACC network, which is ESPN, a couple of years ago. Their contract goes through 2036, and it's not real attractive compared to what the SEC has or the Big Ten has or about to have. But there is a clause that says if you leave, it's $52 million bucks exit fee. Now, here's the thinking, though. if those teams were to leave, you may not have a league. So where's the exit fee go? That now again, that's an extreme thought, Brad, but it's not unusual. You lose them, and what do you have? The other thing is ESPN, if you lose those three, is going to want to come back and redo that deal and mark down a couple of $10 million bucks per team.
Yeah, great question. I'm not sure you do have a league. If you're dealing with, you know, ESPN and whatnot, I mean, you're the same TV type of network. I mean, as far as, you know, dealing with the SEC, I mean, the ESPN and Disney still own that. So I'm sure there's some ways around it. And then even if you got to pay the fee, you can't, you know, find a way out of it. I know $50 million sounds like a lot, but, again, if these new TV contracts are in the $80 to $100 million per year range, I would say schools can afford it. I mean, you'll make up for it within a 3-4 year period, to put it that way.
Whatever the number is, you do it. You got to get out.
Yep.
You got to go. It's not about penny pinching anymore. Southern Cal joining the Big Ten, and you just talked a few minutes ago about it. It's going to be difficult now. It's going to be tougher than where they were. Now, the thinking has been Lincoln Riley's got this gig. He's going to restore the brand, and he's going to control the West Coast. This is going to happen again. Only problem is he's not going to be in a West Coast league anymore. He's going to be in the Big Ten. And you laid it out there. The competition week in and week out is going to be even more difficult. Who's got it better just as far as on the field in football joining a league? Southern Cal or Oklahoma, Texas? Who's more comfortable initially on the field?
Really good question.
I know. I can't.
Because they're all kind of similar. I mean,
yeah.
All have relatively new coaches. I'm gonna say Texas, because if it comes down to money, I think Texas will have the best. Probably both worlds. I mean, obviously they got their quarterbacks of the future. SC, I worry stylistically. I don't know if they're going to hold. I mean, even at this point, I mean, with all the optimism that Lincoln Riley's brought on, I mean, where's the line of scrimmage? Look at their 2023 class. I don't see any. I mean, they got some 5-stars, but nobody on either line of scrimmage. I mean, they got a bunch of, you know, 3-star type guys. So I would say stylistically, I mean, is that going to work up against Wisconsin and whatnot? I'm not sure. So I'll say Texas, but it's a good question. I mean, it's, you know, they're trying to pick among children at this point.
Texas, Brad, has, since Arch Manning, which was a week from yesterday, committed, picked up about 6 or 7 more, but 2 other 5-stars. One is a safety out of Louisiana, right under Brian Kelly, out of New Iberia, Derek Williams, 5-star. Then the other one's a receiver out of DeSoto, Texas, who Jeff Ketchum said they were probably going to get him anyways, regardless of the Arch Manning news. But they moved all the way to, like, number 3 in recruiting, Texas has. I know that has nothing to do with let's go play a game this September, but at least for the moment, it seems like they're capitalizing on this news.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which is why you want that quarterback set.
Right.
At least in the summer, so he can, you know, help that class and – you know, I know it's not per se his job, but it kind of is. If you want to be the leader of this team, you got to help us form this team and create your former, you know, help get some of your former teammates. So not surprised that they moved way up. I will say this. If you look at the amount of commitments that are going on right now, by the time fall camp opens up, Bill, a lot of teams are going to be mostly filled up for this upcoming recruiting class. There's not going to be too many guys left, and I'm not just talking 5- and 4-star guys. I'm talking all the way down the list. I mean, I would say half the teams in college football will be relatively wrapped up as far as recruiting, fully, but 75-80% done with their classes.
With this exception, though, Brett, with that many accounted for, and then we get on the field and all the unexpected happenings occur, and then you start getting decommits. It could lay the path for a wild decommit season, too. It works both ways.
Yep, I could see that. And then you got NIL money. Somebody slips in and has a deal. So it's wild. I mean, I know a lot of people that traditionalists don't like it, but, man, I'll tell you, I mean, if you're a media outlet, you got to love it. Because, I mean, I would say, I would hope that college football is way more interesting to talk on a daily basis. I mean, I could talk, I mean, till the cows come home. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't need all this going on to talk college football, but I would hope from a national perspective, you know, the networks that cover sports on a day in and day out basis, I hope this makes college football more attractive for them to talk about.
Hawkeye Jason, who is in Costa Rica, says Nebraska is still the worst addition to the Big Ten. No TV market, no local recruiting, no AAU status, and all the Big Ten got in return was dominant women's basketball and below-average football. That's it. Yeah, they lost their AAU status. They got it taken from them in 2011, about the time they joined the league. They're the only team in that league that does not have it. Of all the additions, now for Nebraska, it's fantastic money-wise because they're in a league that's about to pay them $100 million a year. But on the field, Brad, they've not done much.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be doing much moving forward. I don't know what the fix is there. I mean, Scott Frost is supposed to be the fix, and by all intents and purposes so far, he's not. And he's going to have to win, I think, a minimum 7 games this year, or he'll be out. And who do you get at that point? I'm not sure. Very tough gig. And, I mean, they'll be happy to count the money, but I'll say this, they're not going to be counting Big Ten and national championships anytime in the future.
Tom in Myrtle Beach pointed out, Jeff Ketchum from Orange Bloods, the Texas site, was on with us yesterday, and he said that he thinks they're going to redshirt Arch Manning the first year, which would be next year. Quinn Ewers would be a junior his third year, and then if he's as good as we think he might be, then he leaves. Again, a lot of what-ifs there. But he said somewhere, now, Brad, I don't know which side. Don't know if he told us. He said you could get a bet on Arch Manning redshirt at minus 2,000. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I don't know on that one. I haven't seen that.
I should have asked.
I'm sure that's offshore. And I'm sure the limits are extremely low. You're not getting 2,000 to win 100. I don't even think of something like that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Who cares about the red shirt? I mean, if Arch Manning's the real deal, he'll leave. I mean, even if he doesn't play as a freshman, he has 2 good years as a sophomore, junior, he's gone. So I will say this on the subject. I would expect Quinn Ewers to be, if he lives up or is any close to as far as the hype coming out of high school, I would expect Quinn Ewers to be a starting quarterback for Texas, not only this year but next year.
I'm a believer in him. Not Brad, I know we haven't seen him on a college football field taking a meaningful snap, but this kid's got a lot of ability. I'd be surprised if he's a bust. And we all know what Texas can do. Texas can absolutely ruin every thought you have about how good they could be. But he's got, I mean, think about it. He's got a young stud receiver who started as a freshman. He's got Bijan Robinson to hand it to. Offensive line will be decent. You've got Quinn Ewers with a big-time arm. I don't think they struggle there so much.
On the offense side of the ball, no. I he's got plenty of weapons to be successful, a lot of production. So I'm with you. The beauty of Texas schedule, we'll find out by week 2 where they stand. Not necessarily they need to win the game, but we'll know where they stand as a program. Whether that's a close loss or a 4-touchdown loss, it'll be very telling against Alabama.
That is a tough spot for Texas. That has the makings of 45-10 on it. Wow.
especially their offense line's a weakness. I mean, that's not good against that pass rush for Alabama. That matchup there is the big reason why I bet the Crimson Tide in that game already.
No, Kev, up in Chicago, if the SEC gets Florida State and Clemson, who would the other schools be? Well, I don't know if you add more, but if you added more, he throws out Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia. By the way, we got a lot of Hokie fans that listen. Do the Hokies have a home outside the ACC?
Yeah, I mean, they better hope that they can be able to, like, maybe hitch their ride to, like, a Virginia. That would be their hope, believe it or not. I know they don't want to hear that, but obviously as an academic institution, for Virginia's held in higher regard. So, yeah, that would, I'm not sure that they do. So, and when I say, you know, I think it's becoming more and more clear we're going to have a couple of leagues separate themselves. Not all the current Power 5 programs are going to be in a necessarily power conference moving forward. There's probably going to be 10, 15, 20 programs kind of left out in the dust, and we'll see how that ends up shaking up, and we'll see. I'm sure you get some form of the Pac-12 schools left over, the Big 12 schools and whatnot. A lot of them will probably have to join forces to, you know, come up with a conference that is, you know, somewhat marketable, but certainly not near. Still ain't gonna put, you know, get the year in year out money that an SEC or a Big Ten is gonna get.
Brad, when do you go? I know I asked you last week, but when do you go on your trip?
15th is okay. My side. I'll leave, you know, later that day, but yeah, July 15th.
So a couple of weeks you got left, and then you'll be gone a few weeks.
Yep, it'll be good because, I mean, it's usually a quiet period. I mean, anybody that's really in the industry, if there's a time of year where you take a vacation, it's either June or July. A lot of people around the All-Star break, if you do baseball, find themselves taking a couple weeks. It's about the only time you can. And then once, you know, August, I'll be back to work August 1st and won't take another day off for at least 4 months, 5 months.
Brad, we'll let you run, man. Have a great weekend. Tell everybody how they can get your hands on all your content.
Yep. I know 4th July weekend's coming up, and maybe you're not thinking football, but I will say this. You only got a few days left to take advantage of the early bird special, $79 from my newsletter, bradpowersports.com. Click on the Bill King tab, top of the page.
See you next week.
All right. Take care, Bill.
There is Brad Powers. Dow's down about 55 right now as we just got started. Crazy last couple of days. Love it.